Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maho, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Well, partly cloudy there, really. Not too good. But hey, the work of the Lord must continue. How are you doing on your side?
No, I'm doing well, my brother. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. We've talked much about the Lord's Supper. Christ gave an example. He broke the bread and shared the fruit of the vine with the disciples and asked them to remember the sacrifice he was about to make for them and for all of us, by the way. So today we are going to talk about how to prepare, for this important service, and what are the benefits for those who want to partake. And as I said earlier, I do know that many of you listening are going to be going through this ordinance. Pastor Maho, how do we go about preparing ourselves for the Lord's Supper?
Okay, I would say what is important is to prepare your heart. It's the preparation of the heart. It's like the bride who is going to meet the groom. There is a preparation that is done. You don't just wake up and just rush to meet the groom without some preparation that is supposed to be done. Because we now understand that the Holy Communion, the word communion itself, it tells us something. Communion is like there is a kind of intimacy that is happening between us and our Maker. And for us to be part of that intimacy, there is a need for preparation, because remember, God is holy. And what he needs are people that are also willing to accept this beautiful gift of holiness that is given unto us. So you are given more time to prepare. You want to go and meet with your God. So more prayer, the preparation of the heart, introspection, as explained in Psalm 139, I think verse 23 and verse 24. Search me, O God, perfection, where you can introspect, to search within your heart. If there are sins, stubborn stains that are still in your heart. And also reconciliation with people. Maybe you have people that you have angered, that you are not in good books with during that period of time, to reconcile. So that when you go now before the throne of God, you know that, when it comes to me on the human side, I am in good books with everyone. And then now I need my God to be in good books. I also need myself to be in good books with my God. So that preparation is very crucial for one who wants to partake on the Holy Communion. That is also the only way it can make sense. It can also be important, because when you do that preparation, you understand that I'm preparing for something that is very important. And when that something comes, you will take it seriously.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, is it a sin to opt out of partaking of the Lord's Supper? You get there and you're saying, no, not today, I'm not partaking. Is that a problematic stance?
So this one is it's deeper. I will try to break it down this way. There are some people who just choose not to partake. They just come to church and they just decide to say, I just don't want to partake on the Holy Communion, maybe for the reasons that are only known to themselves. I've encountered some people who say also, spiritually, I'm not okay, so I can't partake on the Holy Communion. I've also heard some people who just say, but even if I don't partake this time around, I can partake next time. It's not that important. But I think, with the discussion that we're having, these previous 2 days, understanding the importance, the significance of the Holy Communion, I believe if one just decides to choose not to partake, they are indirectly saying, I do not need the blood of Christ. I do not need Christ, to be my personal savior. That is maybe the best way I can put it. Because, look, the reason why we're having the Holy Communion, it is because we are sinners. Had men not sinned against God, there was no need for these ordinances. All these ordinances are all about redemption, the redemption of someone who has been lost and now he has been found. Now, because we understand ourselves to be sinners, we need this more than anyone else. And also the idea that Christ is the one who gave this command to say, do this in remembrance of me. If I now come and I choose, I do not want to do it, what am I saying about Jesus? So I want to believe that those who understand the Holy Communion must partake on the Holy Communion. But also we need to understand, brother Zama, because there are some people who have not been given, you know, enough education when it comes to this thing. Because I grew up in some in churches where the leaders of the church used to tell people that, you know, you can't partake on the Holy Communion.
Yes, I've heard that. Not,
yes, when you are not okay, you know, spiritually. I've heard some people. I actually encountered when I was still a young person some elders who actually forbade some brothers from partaking on the Holy Communion because they were under censure. I still remember vividly a certain brother, the elder, removing his foot from the dish because he wanted to partake. Now, listen, one thing that I can say is that there is no one who is holy among us, and we cannot claim, because no one is perfect. Maybe let me put the word perfect. No one is perfect. And we have that desire, that longing desire to be closer to Christ. And because of that longing desire, whether I am a sinner or not, I believe that we all need to partake on the Holy Communion. There is no one who is supposed to be barred from partaking it, whether you are under censure. Because look, the Holy Communion has everything to do with myself as an individual with God. I am looking at myself, Lord, I am a sinner, I need your forgiveness. And because I need your forgiveness, I also need the ordinance, because it draws me closer to you. So there is not supposed to be any human being who stands between me and God to say, because you are under censure. In fact, those who are under discipline need it the most, because it is for sinners.
Yes,
it is not for those who are righteous. So I believe that there is no one who is supposed to just feel like not partaking, or who need to be barred from partaking. Everyone must partake, because this ordinance is very important. It is also like what I said last time, to say Holy Communion versus the Passover. And the Israelites just chosen to say, I just do not want to partake on the Passover. It was a serious offense. God actually gave a command. If somebody does not partake on this, let that soul be cut from among the people. So it's a command. It's an instruction. So you don't choose not to partake. If you are available and you are there, and you are also a human being who is also a sinner, you must partake on the Holy Communion.
Yay, Pastor, are you sure that I'm not going to get some WhatsApps from the deacons and the elders? are you absolutely sure, so that I can, make sure that I duck properly?
No, let me tell you, my brother. I think sometimes tradition is the one that destroys us. Because I grew up in those environments, and because of tradition, I had to sit down and search about this thing. I had a very big presentation that I once made a few years ago about Holy Communion. Look. Holy Communion is supposed to be for everyone. There is no one. So every time, like when I'm conducting Holy Communion, I've conducted Holy Communion in different churches in my life. Every time when I'm conducting, I always say this statement, even before the elders, to say, anyone who's seated here, you have every right to partake. There is no one who have any right to tell you not to partake. Everyone who's here, if you are willing to partake, you have to partake. Why do I say so? Because it is a command from God. I know that sometimes churches come with their own, you know, policies here and there, but I always believe that principle is about policy.
Yes,
who am
yes.
I? Listen, brothers, I'm trying to think, who am I to stop you from partaking?
True.
Who am I to say you are not worthy? Who am I? When God is the one who's saying partake, and I come and I say, don't partake. I think those who bar people from partaking are the ones who are committing a grave sin.
Well, that is, if you hear that sigh, it is a sigh of relief. Now, what happens? Just joking with you, Pastor. What happens in a case where someone can't make it to the service for a legitimate reason? Maybe they are sick. What then happens? It means that, your choice. You've missed out. Sorry.
No. I think our churches, they've been educated enough when it comes to this. When someone is not available, maybe they are at home because of sickness, or they are at the hospital, we have to go and to conduct the Holy Communion where they are. And we've been doing this in our churches for, I think many churches, they know this and they do it.
We go to
someone who's sick and we conduct the Holy Communion. If the people maybe are out of town, they are not available that time, but they have all communicated that they won't be around and they'll be coming back, we will also preserve some so that when they come back, who conduct a special communion for them.
They get their share.
This is a very important ordinance. You know, the sad story is that in these past years, we have maybe removed, I don't know, we have made it like a very shallow kind of a thing. It's no longer important to many people. We just say, I might choose to do it. But if we understood from the way to go how important this ordinance is, like the Passover, I believe churches must always have registered to know that who is not available. Why do they not partake? How can we help? When I was growing up, we used to have a register for everyone who partook on the Holy Communion. There was a register to go around where you write your name. They were doing it so that when they look on the membership, they say who was not available. Then they do some contacts and then they see if they can go and conduct it, because it's a very important ordinance, which I believe if the economies were okay, we're not supposed to even do it maybe once a quarter, maybe once a month, was okay, because it's very important, it's solemn, and it must be done.
I like that, because most of the time when people have missed out, they will say, oh, well, what can I do? I'll catch the next quarter. And I'm glad that you're saying that. In fact, we should be, you know, open to identifying people and seeing that, okay, this one has not come through, that one hasn't come through, and that one hasn't come through. So thank you so much for that, Pastor. Now, lastly, as we close off our conversation, how does the Lord's Supper benefit us?
Okay, so from some of the benefits that we discussed in these past 2 days, I think there are two that stands out for me. The first one is in the command that Jesus gave. He says, do this in remembrance of me. That word remembrance is very important. For me, the Holy Communion is a reminder, is a constant reminder of our desperate need for salvation. Every time we partake on the Holy Communion, because we as human beings, sometimes we forget, you know, through the busyness of life, you know, hectic life that we are living in these weeks, in these months that we have, sometimes people tend to forget how special we are in God's sight and how we have been redeemed through his blood. So when the Holy Communion comes, it is a constant reminder to us that we need Christ's blood. Christ hang on the cross for our sins. And I think we are conscientized. That way you become sober. You start going back, you start reminiscing, you know, of that experience in Gethsemane. Then you decide, Lord, I'm not okay with you. Please help me. So I think that is the main important reason why we have this Holy Communion. Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. But I also think the other one, which is also very special, Christ, after he partook on the Holy Communion with his disciples, he told them that, I will not partake on this Holy Communion with you again on this earth, but on that day when we shall have it with my Father in heaven. So it also keeps us, you know, in that desire to have that Holy Communion with God when we go to heaven. So it makes us long and desire to be in heaven. You know, I always dramatize and imagine that time to say when we are seated on the table, asking myself, how long is that table? Because many people will be saved and it's only one table. How long is it? How are we going to sit there? You know, when I'm thinking about these things, it makes me to desire more, you know, for heaven and salvation. So the Holy Communion also makes us prepare for the second coming of Jesus. So I think these two, they stand out, even though there are a lot of them, you know, which might help, but these two, they stand out, makes you always remember that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by Christ dying on the cross. And also number two, we know that Christ is coming for the second time. And when he comes, we know that there is a promise that he made. I'll eat this with you in my with my Father when we are redeemed.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I'm going to let you go. But in conclusion, the one thing that you'd like to leave with the listener before we part ways.
What I want to leave with the listener before we part ways is that as Adventists, we are blessed because we do the Holy Communion. And I forgot to say this yesterday, to say ours is Holy Communion, not sacraments. Because sacraments are done by the evangelical, the Pentecostals and the Catholics. Now, in the sacraments, to them, is how it differs. It is because to them, those things that we partake, like the bread and the wine, to them, it's actual, it's the actual body and the actual blood. I don't know what they do. Say it gets converted. So it's like they're cannibals who are eating the actual body. But for us, we know that these are symbols. And I want the churches to know that when you are partaking of the Holy Communion, it's not like a kind of a secular ritual, you know, because I've heard some people saying, how now do we differ with people who are in the African traditional religions and do these things? Ours is, these are symbols. It's the ordinary bread, ordinary grapevine, but they are standing as symbols. When you are partaking them, it is by faith. You are saying, by faith, as I'm eating this bread, I am actually reminded of Christ's body, which was broken for my transgressions. When I'm partaking on this grape juice, I'm reminded of this blood which was shed on Calvary. So I always want people, when they are partaking, to put it in their minds as they are eating, to say, Lord, as I'm partaking on these two symbols, let me understand who Jesus is in my life. and let me be bonded with him, not only today when I'm partaking, but from here until eternity.
Mm.
That is what I can do with the saints.
Beautiful, beautiful, Pastor. Well, I must thank you so much for coming through and for, you know, explaining this thing so succinctly, but that everyone, even the little ones, should actually understand exactly what the Holy Communion is about. And by the way, if you're listening out there and you just got the tail end of that conversation, do not worry. You can check it out on our podcasts. We are going to tell you how to do that just now. Pastor, thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you so much, Zama. Have a blessed evening and a blessed Sabbath.
Lovely. Have a blessed one too. Thank you.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.